Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hands upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue and looked up to heaven. He sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged him, so much the more a great deal they published it. And they were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Sounds like him, doesn't it? I think everyone can agree with this statement I'm about ready to make. Things can go wrong even with what God gives us. Just look at it materialistically. Everything that you have in your possession today, God has given it to you. Every good gift and every perfect gift coming from the Father above. It all belongs to Him. That's why you shouldn't attach yourself to it very much, because you're not taking it with you when you go anyway. And He gave it to us, and as quick as He gave it to us, He can take it away. But even the materialistic things that He blesses us with, things can go wrong with it. I mean, how many of you have had a car to break down? I'm laughing because the current situation my family and I is in. It seems like, after so long, after you put so many miles on a vehicle, that's why there's a depreciation value with most property and most things that you own. There's a depreciation value because things just aren't as good as they were when you first started with them. We bought that thing new a few years ago, and now it's barely making it. But it's because things wear out and they break down and things can go wrong. God bless us with it, but even at that, things can still go wrong and they need to be fixed. And just give it time. Things that you have in your life will eventually, time will tell and time will take its toll on them, and they will break down and need to be fixed. Cal Ray mentioned a few weeks ago about the HGTV and how, you know, a lot of you women like to watch that show, and none of you ever thought about shiplap until Chuck and Joanna showed up from Waco, Texas. Now everybody's got to make a trip to Waco, not to see David Koresh and the cult, but to see, you know, Magnolia and to see Chip and Joanna and to see shiplap, because y'all love it so much. But the name of their show, you know this already, right? It's called Fixer Upper. I mean, and I know it's kind of humorous, but they would look at places that would seemingly be next to nothing. You know, we would look at it and say, just tear it down. But they saw something within it that no one else could see and saw that it could be something even better after they put their hands on it and after it was fixed up. And spiritually in our lives, just like materialistic things, we will eventually break down. And there's a point in our time when we need to be fixed. Whether it be physically, we need a touch from God, or whether it be spiritually, there's going to come a time in your life when you need to be fixed. But I'm thankful that just like this man in Mark chapter 7, we have a place that we can be brought to. We have a person that we can be brought to that is able to take care of us, able to touch us, able to heal us, and able to fix us up. And aren't you glad He fixed you? I mean, I know we're still a work in progress, and I know we haven't made it to that eternal city that our pastor's been preaching about, and we have not attained that perfect body yet and that brand new body. But bless God, I'm thankful that He is willing and able to take care of what He's given us. And this man needed to be fixed.
And we see that Jesus was in the Decapolis area. Just two chapters prior to this, he had been pushed out of Decapolis and pushed out of that area because he had healed a man and cast out the demons, and they went into some swine. The swine went down and drowned themselves. And because he cut into the prophets of the ones that raised the swine, they told him to leave that area. And here he is again in this same area because of the compassion Jesus had on people that needed to be touched and needed to be healed. Here he comes back into this area, and here they bring him a man that is deaf and dumb and needs to be touched. Now, Jesus could have pushed him away. Jesus could have chosen not to touch him that day. But aren't you glad that he fixed him up that day? Aren't you glad he changed his life? And I want you to notice the things that happen in this man's life are the same things that are going to take place in our life if we expect to be changed, if we expect to be fixed, and if we expect to be corrected. Number one, I want you to notice in this man's life, there was the private teaching. The private teaching. Notice in verse 33, if you still have your Bibles open, they brought him to this man that had that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And look what Jesus did in verse 33. And he took him aside from the multitude. I want you to notice the private teaching of the Lord. This word took him aside literally means to receive him. So we can see the picture. They brought him to Jesus. Jesus receives him, takes him and goes away from the crowd, away from the familiar faces, away from the familiar spaces, away from what he's used to, and takes him apart from all of that and gets him by himself and gets him privately. You say, why did he do that? Because so many times we can be coerced by a crowd. We can be coerced by those that are going one direction. And young people, listen to me well. You can be coerced by the crowd. You can be coerced by the way the direction of the world is going. And your friends are going one way. Your peers may be going one way. And it's so easy just to get in that stream and flow down. It's a lot harder to swim upstream than it is to flow downstream. But may I submit to you, God has a way of taking us away from all of that and getting us privately. Sometimes we look back in our lives and think about some of the people that used to be in our lives. They're not there anymore. And you can look back and say, thank God they're no longer part of my life, because I would have went with that crowd. I would have chosen to go that direction. But God in His providence took me away from that and got me privately. He had to relieve him from the crowd in order to receive his cure. He took him away from the familiar faces. He took him away from the familiar spaces. He took him away from the distractions. He took him away from the deterrence. Now, we know God can perform miracles in a crowd. He did it so many times in Scripture. You can read the miracles of Christ. He fed 5,000 men beside women and children. That's a pretty large crowd. 15,000 to 20,000 people, and he did a miracle there. He did a miracle where he healed a man of the palsy in a crowded house, and he brought him down and they lowered him in the midst of that crowd, and he healed that man and he went on his way and healed that man with the palsy several other times. There was a crowd around. People brought people to Jesus and he healed them. But this point in time, he takes them away and gets them away privately and decides to do a miracle in a private teaching. You say, what does this mean to you, Brian? I'm telling you, there's some things that God does for us collectively that are just so amazing. We go away from this place saying, oh my, I never saw it that way before. We're like these people, and they were beyond measure astonished and saying, he hath done all things. Ain't that like our God? We leave this place saying, how can it get any better? How can God do anything more? And then we come back Wednesday and he does more. And we say, how can he go any better? How can it be any better? And we come back on Sunday and he does it again, exceedingly abundantly above. I'm telling you what, folks, that's our God. He can do things collectively. But I'm telling you what, you'll never be more touched than when he does something for you individually. When he takes you away from the distractions,
when He takes you away from the deterrence of this world, when He takes you away from the familiar parts of your life, we can go through our life and it becomes so redundant that we miss what God is trying to do. And He has to get us away privately and say, listen to me. He wanted to make sure He could have been coerced by the crowd. Maybe the crowd brought Him to Jesus, but did you ever think about it? Maybe He didn't want to be healed. Maybe they just brought Him to Him. Because sometimes we can bring people and they may not want anything to happen. We have it in our heart for somebody else, but they have to have it in their heart. They have to want to be touched. But this man needing help comes to Jesus. He takes him away privately. And there's never a greater time in my life. I can tell you the times. And I could be here from now for a few days telling you about the private times, the personal moments that I've had with Jesus Christ that I can nail down, Roger, that I'll never, ever forget. Times when I've studied on things and times when I've wanted to confirm in my own heart about certain doctrines in the Bible. It's good enough that we have it here at the church, and it's good enough that I belong to a denomination and we have bylaws and standards, but I wanted them for myself. I want to know what I believe myself. And there were times when God confirmed it to me, and no person, nobody can change my mind on it, because God met with me privately. I've shared this testimony so many times you could probably tell it, but there's a lot of new folks here and I want to tell it again about my great uncle Carl Brown. He was a great man of God and loved to serve the Lord. And when he was living, he had a little place over on Route 23 there at the flea market. And he would just basically, he would find old tools and antique tools in the ground. He would dig them up, he'd clean them off, and he'd call them antiques. And then he'd go and sell them over on Route 23. But he made some money to just things to do. But what we found out later was Uncle Carl was trying to win people to Jesus, and he used that as his way in to talk to people about the Lord. He'd go in with his red Ford Ranger and his bibbed overalls and his John Deere hat, and he would go and he would just sit there and sell those antique tools, and he would talk to people about Jesus. And I can hear him testify to this day how he'd get up and he'd say, I'd go get up early on a Saturday morning and headed over the hill, and he said, I'd leave Otway, and I'd go up 73, and we call that area Bloody Run. And he said, I'd go up Bloody Run Hill, and I'd be praying to God. And he said, I'd crest Bloody Run Hill and come to the other side. And he said, I dare not look over, because I knew the presence of God was sitting in the truck with me. He was sitting in the cab of the truck with me. And he would go on and on about the times God would meet with him privately. I'm saying, I love what God does collectively, but I so appreciate that He meets with me privately. And he met with this man privately. Here's the main reason why. Because Jesus wanted to make sure no one could take the credit for what was about ready to happen. It only came from Jesus. The private teaching. Secondly, I want you to notice the personal touch. He got him away privately. And I found in my life that God will do things in your life to not only help you overcome your past and what's wrong with you presently, but it will also do a miracle to prepare you for what's coming down the road. This man undoubtedly had a future that God wanted to use him for the good. And so God not only took care of what he was facing presently and whatever was plaguing him in his past, but he took care of his future by performing a miracle. Aren't you glad that God sees something within us? He sees our dilapidated state. He sees our crippled soul. But he says, I can still do something with that. And he looks at us and heals us and changes our life. And in a moment of time, our past is taken care of. Our present is secured. And thank God our future is bright, because Jesus takes the time to personally touch us and come to us with his power. Hallelujah. Well, he had a future tailor-made by God. And what God was about ready to do in his life was preparing him for what was going to happen. Look closely at this miracle now. I've been studying on this, and God showed me some things, and hopefully it'll bless you like it blessed me. Look what he did in verse 33. He took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. Now we know Mark chapter 8, he used spit again, made a dirt, made clay, and touched the man's eyes, told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, right? This is a little bit different. Actually, it's a lot a bit different.
This is what I picture happening. And after researching this, I agree with some scholars. And this is what I believe happened. He got them apart. He took them aside. And he stuck his fingers in his ear. We know that's true.
Some people would read this and think he stuck his fingers in his ears. And then he spit on him. And touched, spit on his tongue.
Now, regardless of how he did it, spit is spit.
I mean, it's gross.
I mean, really.
Spit is spit.
Two things in those times, spitting was a form of detest. If you hated something, hated someone, hated a principle, you would spit as a sign of detesting what was happening. In Roman times, they also believed, in Bible times, and especially in the Roman, they would believe that saliva had medicinal properties. And you all say, oh, that's gross. Now, if you're old enough, you remember how your mamaw or your mom wiped all over you. Mamaw spit was a cure for everything. That McCuricome. If it ain't burning, it ain't working, right? That should have been the slogan. My mamma Lola was Absorbine Junior. Rub it all over you. Didn't matter what was going on. Didn't matter if you had the flu, a cold, Absorbine Junior, it'd work. May not help the cold, but sure made you forgot about it. No one got around you because you smelled so bad. But spit is spit. Here's what I think happened. I believe he stuck his fingers in his ears. Then I believe he pulled them out. Almost like he was unstopping something that was inside his ears. Then I believe he spit on his finger. Then I believe he touched the tongue of the man. Now, here's what I got to thinking, and here's what blessed me. We see spit, and we automatically get a little bit grossed out. And so we miss what God's trying to show us. Folks, this was divine DNA. And just one drop of divine DNA. And a personal touch of Jesus. Caused the deaf ears to be unstopped and the dumb to begin to speak. He put a little bit of himself on this man. And just a little bit of him caused this man to be healed. Aren't you glad that it don't take a lot of Jesus? It just takes a little bit of divinity. And thank God we're changed forever. And then my mind got to think, you all know my dad's been a pharmacist for 47 years, been retired for a few years now. But I remember growing up, and I remember people coming into the pharmacy, and I remember him prescribing certain medicines. They're called sublingual medications. The sublingual medications, you would put them under your tongue because it would dissolve under your tongue. And the theory is, and the science is, that the medicine is absorbed into your bloodstream quicker when it's absorbed through the tongue. So I think when Jesus touched that man's tongue in a matter of seconds, thank God he got not only a new ears and a new tongue, but he got new blood. He got a new body. He was a new creature in Christ Jesus. Thank God one touch from the Master's hand can change us forever. Hallelujah. Divine DNA. And this was a beautiful fulfillment of prophecy. Because Isaiah chapter 35 says in verse 5, the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And in verse 6 it says, the tongue of the dumb shall sing. I know it was referring to a time and a place when we gather around the throne of God, but also it was telling the ones that were standing there, this is the one that Isaiah spoke about. This is the one that Jeremiah spoke about. This word, when his tongue was unloosed, used. It was the only time it was used in the Word, in the New Testament. But it's a direct correlation to Isaiah chapter 35, verse 6. He was trying to tell the folks standing around, this is the one you've been waiting on. This is the Messiah. He's the one that can touch you just like He touched him. And a personal touch can make a difference. The private teaching, the personal touch, but finally I want you to notice, and I'm hurrying, the process that needed to be trusted. Jesus used many different methods to heal. Sometimes He spoke a word. Sometimes He didn't say a thing. Sometimes He responded to someone's faith. Sometimes He responded to other people's faith. Sometimes He shouted. Sometimes He whispered. Sometimes He touched. Sometimes all He had to do was say a word. Why did Jesus do what He did? This is the only time that He healed in this method, in this form, and in this process. Why did He do it that way? He was trying to tell us, God is not tied down to a pattern. He works as a process. God is not tied down to one method of healing. Because if He only did it one way, and that was the only way, then that means you and I can only be healed in one way. But He showed us that it may seem odd. It may seem weird. This is the only time in Scripture you'll find where He stuck His fingers in some guy's ears, spit on his hand and touched his tongue. He could have done it somewhere else, but He decided not to. Why? Because He wanted to understand that the power of the healing did not come in a method. It came from the sovereignty of God. How we do things, why we do things, why we choose to lay hands upon people, why sometimes we choose to anoint a cloth. It's not because of the method and why we do those things. How many times has our pastor said, the power is not in this? We do this as a token and as a sign that we believe that by His stripes we are healed. And we trust the process. And the process is, if any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, praying, anointing with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. That's what we believe. That's what we trust. And we trust that God can, and He can do it in His way, in His time, for His glory. And God can heal. I've seen Him heal, and I've seen God choose to heal people in ways that I never thought possible. And that's how I know it's God. When I was growing up, we would very frequently, usually around Easter time, most of the time around Christmas as well, about two or three times a year, we would have communion. And we would also have feet washing in the church where I was raised. A lot of you raised the same way. And we would have communion. And during this time, our choir leader, her name was Mary Brown, she was experiencing a lot of throat difficulty. And she couldn't sing. She was a fabulous singer and was an integral part of the church at that time, still is. And she's not only the choir leader, but she sang in a few of the groups. And she was having difficulty. She felt like Satan was coming against her, and she needed a touch and a healing in her body and in her throat. And so we were having communion, and just like we do here so many times, well, pre-corona, but we would gather around and they would pass the cup. They passed the bread, and we did that. And at the time, Brother Delbert Evans was still our pastor. And you just have, if you didn't know Brother Deb, I wish you could know him. But Brother Delbert Evans did things just, he followed and was obedient to God. I'll just say that. And so as the cup was being passed, and we were getting ready to dismiss and go into the rooms, and the women would go to the Sunday school room, and the men would stay in the church and do the feet washing as he was ready to dismiss to do that. Brother Death stopped everyone. He said, you know what?
I just feel impressed of the Lord to do this. And I'll never forget, he said, this may sound peculiar. It may sound odd, but I just feel like we need to do this. He fills up another communion cup. And he goes over to Mary. And he says, Mary, I know you've been dealing with some throat problems. And God's going to touch you tonight if you just believe. So we're going to pray, and I want you to drink this cup. And I want you to swallow 7 times. And she took the cup. We prayed. She swallowed 7 times. The power of God fell. Her throat wasn't healed yet. So they dismiss. They go into the rooms. And usually when we're done feet washing, we break out in hymns, just like they did when Jesus washed their feet and they rose from the table and began to sing hymns. And all of a sudden, over in the Sunday school room on the other far end of the property where the women were located, all of a sudden I heard a voice singing, "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be." And I was like, that sounds like Mary. And they come out of the Sunday school room worshiping and praising God. God had touched Mary's voice that very night as they were washing feet. And as she swallowed that juice, she said, "When I swallowed that juice, something broke loose in my throat. And I felt the power of God come in and heal me." She's still singing to this day. It may sound odd and it may seem peculiar, but God is not tied down to one method. He's not tied down to one way. He does it in His way, in His time, for His glory. Trust His process, but thank God, believe in the power of God. And we'll walk away just like these people walked away. He said, don't tell anybody. And the more he told them not to tell anybody, they couldn't keep their mouth shut. I'm thankful we don't have that law against us right now. He tells us to go and tell the world. It's up to us to tell the people what God has done for us. And so let's stand to our feet tonight. And let's tell Him how much we appreciate what He's done for us. Stand to your feet tonight. Praise Him and thank Him for what He's done. Thank Him that He took time out to touch you. Thank Him that He's healed you. Thank Him that He's set you free and gave you a new life in Christ Jesus. Thank God He can do it. Hallelujah. He can do it. Amen.